Father, as always, I thank you again for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. I ask, O Lord, as we look into thy word today, that you will speak to every one of us, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and our hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today's message and lesson will be on the proper response to dreams, visions, and prophecy. So this is important because we're talking about, you know, dreams. We've been talking about visions. We don't design our spirits, you know, and so on. And yesterday's lesson was a good one. I think all of them had been very good. And we've been talking about how the Lord speaks to us and so on and so forth. You know, and today we want to just understand the proper response to these things that the Lord may show us or tell us. And how do we understand and handle? You know, once we get into the prophetic realm, you know, then, you know, it's you're open to all kinds of things. You know, and I do like to encourage people to walk in the prophetic. You know, I've been saying that at our local church here for some time, and also I think here on the platform, said, look, you don't need to be a prophet, but you can walk in the prophetic. Now, that means that, you know, you are in tune, you know, with the things of God, you know, and you yourself can hear directly from God. You know, that's what these lessons have been about. You know, and when you say prophetic in that, you know, general term, we're talking of all these things, you know, dreams, visions, revelations, discerning of spirits and so forth. Lord may even give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and all these revelation gifts. He may give a tongue and an interpretation and so on. You know, and how do we respond and handle these things? Well, first of all, we want to recognize that the Lord can use, that's what we've been talking about the last few days. The Lord can use any of these means to talk to us. And we have to learn the voice of the Lord. We talked a great deal about his voice. Once we know how he's, and I'm using that voice in a general term, doesn't necessarily mean audible, but how voice is how he speaks to us. You know, so whether it's in dreams, whether it's in visions, whether it's in, could it even be a voice audible, or it could be a still small voice, which is like an impression in our mind, or it could be, you know, through the word of God. Of course, we've talked about the word of God being the final arbiter. So whatever else, whatever other phenomena we experience, you know, we have to check it out against the word of God, the written word of God. You know, so now, having said all of that, how do we respond to dreams, visions, and all these things? Well, we're going to look at some examples in the Bible, you know, some cases that, you know, where there was not understanding, or where there was not a wisdom behind it. You know, and so forth. And others where there were understanding and wisdom and even tremendous faith and so on. You know, let's just consider some stories in the Bible. And then we'll see what the Lord wants to show us here. Now, remember also that, you know, we covered this in previous lessons. Not every dream or every vision, you know, carries, you know, a message from the Lord. You know, sometimes you may just have a dream, you know, because of the multitude of business. And, you know, and just because it's a vision, you know, some people think that visions are higher than dreams. I think no such thing. You know, all the things of the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. And it pleases the Spirit to use them the way he wants to use them. If it's a dream, it's a dream. It's a vision, it's a vision. If it's a, you know, prophetic utterance, it's a prophetic utterance. Whatever it is, it can be a word of knowledge. It can be a word of wisdom, can be a tongue followed by interpretation, can be the discerning of spirits. It can show us into the spirit realm, you know, and sometimes we just look and you can see some things. Whatever God chooses to use, you know, that's up to him, you know, and that's for us to find out. Hopefully the lessons that we've been talking about the last few days, you know, should have helped us to know that God can use any of these realms. And we've got to figure it out, how God is speaking to us. You know, we saw examples of people like that in the Bible. Samuel, he didn't figure, he didn't know. Gideon didn't know. They checked it out. I mean, Eli helped Gideon. I mean, Samuel, Gideon had to test the spirit to see if it was God speaking to him and so on and so forth. So we've covered that, you know. But let's look at more directly aligned to today's lesson. How people handle dreams and visions and prophetic and so forth throughout the scriptures, and whether they handled it right or whether they could have handled it better. You know, we're going to unpack some of these things this morning. Take a look at it. You know, and so let's come on in here and do this together. Now, throughout the Bible, I'm going to start first with dreams. So that's something that just about everybody in the world has dreams. I'm talking of when we lay down to sleep and we experience something, you know, which we call a dream. You know, dreams can also be an aspiration, you know, something we're hoping to accomplish. I'm not talking about that now. I'm just talking about, you know, you lay down to sleep, you see something in your sleep, and so forth. So we call it a dream. Just about everybody experiences that. Now, whether we understand what we saw or not, you know, that's a different thing. I mean, we've seen people in the Bible that had dreams, very important dreams. I had no clue what the dream meant, you know, and they were troubled. I mean, we've seen the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he had a dream and he couldn't figure it out. And the dream, I mean, he was so troubled by the dream that, but he knew it was something important and it was something significant, but he couldn't even remember it. His mind was blocked. But he knew he had something. And he called all his soothsayers, magicians, and, you know, astrologers, and all of them. And said, you know, tell me the dream and the interpretation. As a matter of fact, we've never heard of any such thing up until that point. You know, and even the people said, you know, nobody, there's no king that asked anybody to do this. You tell us the dream. And then we'll tell you the interpretation. How in the world are you going to tell us to tell you your dream? We were not there when you dreamt it. And the man said, look, I know you because you know that the thing is gone from me. You're buying yourself time. But if you don't tell me my dream and then the interpretation, I'm going to make your houses a dunghill. I'm going to kill all of you. You know, I mean, that is so terrifying. I mean, how in the world can someone tell somebody else's dream? And so he made a decree, you know, I'm sure you all know the story. He made a decree that they should kill all the, you know, magicians and everybody. Everybody who has been, you know, had that role of telling him things, you know, maybe all the, you know, soothsayers and everybody. You know, I said, look, here's an important thing. You can't tell me. I'm going to kill all of you. So the word came to Daniel and his companions, because they also were wise, of the wise men and so forth. And they were part of that group. They said, kill all of them. Of course, you know that they begged for time. You know, say, hold on now, you know, let's give us some time and we will tell the king. Praise the Lord. You know, I am so, every time I think of that, I am just so intrigued. You know, I mean, they're facing certainty of death. They're going to be killed. The commandment has gone forth. All you magicians and soothsayers and wise men and astrologians and so on and so forth. If you don't tell me my dream, you are finished. All of you. Make your houses a dunghill and everything. Kill all of you. You know, and, well, Daniel, he prayed with his companions and the Lord answered, you know. So this is, you know, this is the the amazing part of it. And let's listen to the decree that the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar made. He said, if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream. Then I shall know that you can show the interpretation. Well, that was smart, but that was a hard thing. He said, look, I know I can tell you something. You can cook up some interpretation. You know, so how do I know that what you've been cooking up, you know, all these times is the thing? But this one, if you can tell me the dream, then I will know that the interpretation you tell me is the truth. Well, it would take someone with a prophetic to do that. You know, how in the world do you go into someone else's mind and, you know, tell them the dream they already dreamt? So, but Daniel, he prayed. You know, and his friends, he prayed. He said, look, you know, give us some time. But I like the way he said it. You know, listen to Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he will give him time and that he will show the king the interpretation. Isn't that amazing? Now, that is some faith. Now, we don't know up to this time that Daniel, had this experience. This was new for everybody. I mean, he was gifted in dreams and he was sharp in sciences and so forth. You know, he and his companions, the rest of them, in fact, those were the criteria by which they were chosen. But to tell someone else's dream, that's something new. But he came by faith and said, give us some time and we will show the king the interpretation. Ah, Makori Rabashatara. I love it when people are bold like that. You know, and so Daniel went in his house, he got his friends, and they began to pray, desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, so that he and his fellows will not perish with the decree of the king. You know, and then was the thing revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And so now you see, there are dreams and there are night visions. Kind of like the same thing, you know, but a vision is more dramatic sometimes. You can even... people have explained it different ways. It all depends. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, you participate more in the vision and so forth. You know, sometimes it's an out-of-body experience. Sometimes you are looking in. Sometimes you're there. I mean, you may be participating in the dream, you know. And sometimes people say, well, you participate more in the dreams. Whatever the case may be, you know, most of the time, a dream is when you sleep. But when it's called a night vision, it can also be a dream because you are not really awake. You know, but if it's a vision when you, if you are seeing something when you are awake and you're not really sleeping, it could be a trance, you could fall into a trance and be seeing things, you know, where it looks like you are distracted, you're awake, but you're kind of drawn into another zone, or you're just wide open and you see. Some people are called seers in the, you know, in the Bible, like Balaam, you know, having his eyes wide open and seeing, you know, the vision. It was called it was a seer and all these things. But in any case, in this case, Daniel, the thing was revealed to him by night. And it was like Daniel dreamt the dream over. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Daniel had the dream over. Now, people call it Nebuchadnezzar's dream, maybe, but it was also Daniel's dream. You know, so, and then at the end, Daniel said, ah, praise the Lord, we got it. You know, isn't that beautiful? They young men, they believe God. They thought, even these were trailblazers. This has never been done. You know, anybody would dream somebody else's dream that they already had. And, you know, I mean, you're going to tell the interpretation, but you're going to dream the dream first. Amazing stuff. Amazing, powerful stuff. So anyway, Daniel came before the king and told the king the dream. All right. So now we see that. And we see that, you know, Daniel, you know, he told the interpretation. I'm not going to go into all of the interpretation, but he said, this is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. And he told him all the things and so on and so forth. And, you know, when he finished telling the king, he also said, well, you know, this thing is, the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof is sure. So he knew it. Now, this is understanding dream. This is the dreams and visions. You know, and Daniel was so sure because now God showed him the dream and the Lord gave him the interpretation. So he knew the dream was certain and the interpretation was sure. And the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped. Now, can you see the king? You know, it's most of the time it's the other way around. The people bow down, worship the king. Now the king bowed down and worshiped Daniel. Praise the Lord, you know, and he called Daniel God, you know, so to speak. He said, look, you know, of a truth, your God is a God of gods. Lord is a Lord of kings. He's a revealer of secrets, you know, and so forth. He made Daniel a great man. You know, I mean, he worshipped him. He thought, gave him gifts and rulers and make him ruler and so forth, you know. And but Daniel, see, praise God for a man like Daniel. You know, most people, they never remember the people that helped them. But Daniel did not forget. The moment that Daniel was promoted, he remembered his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were the ones who got in there with him in prayer, you know, and they were prayed together, you know, and he remembered. And he desired and requested of the king, and he promoted those as well. Ha! Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel, you know. Many times, you know, people just ignore, you know, their companions who have helped them in life, you know, and so forth. Once they get up there, they just completely forget, you know, and they don't remember. But not Daniel. Daniel was a loyal friend. He was promoted, but he knew that he could not have done this by himself. You know, these people prayed with me all night long and so on. And we've been together all this while. And they were always praying together, you know, in their captivity and so forth, maybe having fellowship, maybe sharing the word of God, maybe, you know, rejoicing at the hope that, you know, the word of Jeremiah will soon come to pass, that, you know, the years will end after 70 and so forth. I mean, we don't know what they were doing together. But Daniel remembered his friends and he got them promoted as well. Now, one thing we see here is how Daniel handled this thing. You know, he said, look, we don't understand this. It's something we don't even know, but God can reveal it. You know, and he called, you know, he said, the Lord is a dissolver of doubts and different things, you know, and God, yeah, God honored his faith because he was so certain. So we see some interpretation of dreams there, powerful stuff, you know, and, you know, the way that Daniel interpreted his dream, well, nobody could have known. He saw the head of gold. I mean, he saw all these things. And he began to tell him, thou art this head of gold. You know, and after thee, there shall arise another inferior kingdom. How did Daniel know these things? I mean, you're just looking at some image. You know, that was spiritual understanding, inspiration that came to him by God. Now, I'll tell you this right away. Some people try to interpret dreams these days or visions by just looking at symbols and this and so on. And say, oh yeah, you know, this symbol means this thing. Far, you know, that could be very far from it. You know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the inspiration and the interpretation comes from God. It's not just by looking at symbols. You say, oh, in this dream you saw this, so therefore it means this. Well, maybe. And most of the time, maybe not. You know, because there's nothing that tells us in this dream, you know, that these things that he saw in this image would mean kingdoms. There's nothing, you know. I mean, there was not even a crown. There was not, you know, anything that would indicate that it was kingdoms. But he got it because the Holy Spirit, the Lord showed it to him and gave him the understanding. Now, we'll talk about that some more. Now, that was one tremendous example of how he sought the Lord, not only to understand the dream. This one was way out there, you know, but he also got the interpretation. Well, let's look at a couple more stories, you know. This one was handled right because he gave, you know, the interpretation and so forth. And it wasn't really something for Daniel specifically. It was something that would affect, you know, the entire history of the world. And the Lord gave it to him. Now let's talk about Joseph. Joseph was a man that was given to dreams. you know, and of course he was a favorite child of his father, being, you know, later in life was when, you know, he had that, you know, that boy. So his father loved him, and he had, you know, gift of dreams, and he dreamt a dream, you know, and so forth. And then he dreamt other dreams and so on, you know. Now, in the case of Joseph, and I'm sure you all know his dreams, you know, how he dreamt, you know, and the interpretation of the dream based on the way it turned out, you know, was something that, you know, I don't know that Joseph necessarily handled it well. But I'll tell you something too, right away before I forget, that even God can even use your errors and your mistakes. He can even use that to further his purpose. Now, in my own opinion, this is my opinion, Joseph did not handle those dreams properly, because the dreams that he saw, according to how we later see the interpretation, would mean that, you know, his brothers will bow down to him, and so on and so forth. You know, now, you don't go telling somebody that. Well, maybe someone say, well, he had faith. I don't know. Maybe he didn't use wisdom, because that thing got everybody envious of him, and they hated him the more. Now, they hated him already because his father preferred him above them. You know, and that's a thing again, you know, about parents. Don't prefer one child to the other, because it will cause hatred, you know. And the father bought him a rainbow coat, which he didn't buy others. And moreover, Joseph was more righteous than his brothers. Brothers did evil deeds, and Joseph would come and report. And so they hated him the more. And so they were already hating him anyway. And then on top of all of that, he come and tell them these dreams. You know, and it's like, oh, what are you saying now? Even his dad was like, you know, are you saying, because he said sun and moon and 11 stars and so forth. Well, his mom was already gone, but, you know, the way they looked at it, they said, well, are you saying that all of us would now, you know, bow down to you and so forth? You know, but he told the dream anyway. He said, look, you know, I dreamt a dream, and he told it to his brethren. You can read in Genesis 37. And then he dreamt another dream, and he told it to his brethren again, you know. First one was like, look, we were binding sheaves in the field, and, you know, lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and, you know, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance, which means bow down and worship, you know, my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him, you know. And then he dreamt another. Look, he already knew they hated him. That kept his mouth shut, in my own opinion. And we'll get more to that. And then, but, you know, he dreamt yet another dream. I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and it made obeisance to me. I mean, what are you telling me? Even his father rebuked him. I said, what are you saying with these dreams? And you know, and all that. Till I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed have come and bow ourselves to him and so on. You know, and what are you talking about? Well, you know, maybe at this time his mother was still alive, looks like. But anyway, you know, he told his brethren these things. They hated him. And when they had opportunity to get rid of him, they said, well, behold, this dreamer cometh. Now come now and let us slay him and cast him into some pit and so forth. And we will see what will become of his dreams. So his response, you know, remember today's title of this lesson is the proper response to dreams, visions, and prophecy. You know, the way that Joseph handled these dreams got him into trouble with his brothers. But God would use it nonetheless, because that's God. The purpose of God in your life cannot be thwarted by, you know, external factors. You may suffer if you don't have wisdom. And Joseph suffered a lot of things. But suffer or not, God will still bring it to pass. In fact, God will use it. It will turn the would-be, you know, destiny destroyers to destiny helpers. They didn't know that they were actually helping his destiny by all those things they did. They thought they were going to destroy him. But God turned their would-be actions of destroying Joseph's destiny to actually propel him closer towards that destiny. Every negative thing that happened to him, even when he got down to Egypt, propelled him closer and closer and closer to where he was going to be. However, if you look at it in the natural, you know, even if he didn't tell his brothers his dreams, even if they didn't sell him to Egypt and so forth, and, you know, try to kill him and all that, God would somehow have brought it to pass if he was from God. You know, so again, we see that his response here, you know, you make the call. Did Joseph, you know, handle this dream properly or not? You know, your call. In my opinion, he didn't. Could have kept his mouth shut. You know, and God would have still brought it to pass, nonetheless. You don't need anyone's help, you know, to fulfill what God is showing you. God will do it anyway. If you speak prematurely before the time, you might get yourself into trouble, you know, which is what happened here. So he got into a lot of trouble, but nonetheless, God used all of that, turned it around. Now, when we got into this, more on the story of Joseph, when he got into prison after Potiphar's wife, you know, framed him for what he didn't do, threw him to prison and so forth. Of course, favor of God was always with Joseph. In prison, you know, he got, you know, a job to be, you know, kind of like a warden or whatever, go around and be in charge and so on. You know, so in his rounds one day, he saw the baker and the butler that Pharaoh had thrown into prison. And then, you know, they chatted and so forth, you know, so they would chat, you know. And one day he came around and he saw that their usual countenances, which were good and, you know, smiling or a bit cheerful, were really down that day. They were so downcast. And Joseph said, "Why look you so sadly today?" And we see that a number of events spiral down from that. And I often say that, well, the one thing that even helped Joseph forward was his compassion. You know, if he hadn't had said that day or had noticed that their countenances were falling, they would not have told him their dreams. And if they had not told him the dreams, then, you know, all the rest of the stuff that happened, his ability to interpret the dream, which would later help him when, you know, the butler would remember, of course, took him 2 years. Now, butler was not like Daniel, who remembered somebody who helped him. He forgot, you know. But before we get there, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's look at how, you know, when Joseph interpreted their dreams, you know, the dream was not always, I mean, one of the dreams was good, one of the other was evil, you know, and he said it the way he said it. You know, the Bible say, well, if you have a dream, tell a dream. If you have my word, tell my word faithfully. He's had a dream, he told it, you know, but he also gave an interpretation. Well, the interpretation fell good to one, the butler, and he was restored. The interpretation fell evil to another, the baker, and he was killed. Well, okay. So how did they handle all three of them? How did they handle these dreams and so forth? The ones that had the dream, of course, they didn't understand it. So they didn't know what to do with it. Well, one, they could have prayed that the Lord... See, if you have a dream and you don't get the understanding, now, unless the dream is not from God, if the dream is from God, he will give you the understanding. Because what is the point of God showing you something if the point of showing it is to hide it from you? So why would he show it to you then? You know, I've often told people, look, Revelation 1:1 said, these things are to show his servants the things to come, not to hide from us. God showed you a dream. It is for you to know, not to hide. So if you don't know it, then ask him, what does this thing mean? And he will tell it to you or show you another dream that will explain it, or whatever. So, but this man, of course, they didn't, and they were saddened because of it. The one told the fellow the dream. The one said, yeah, I also had a dream, very strange dream. And they were saddened by it. He said, what do these things mean? Now, we see that none of them prayed that this thing should be averted. And this is the serious part that I am getting into in this lesson now. You know, neither did Joseph or even the baker prayed, you know, none of them prayed that this thing should be avoided. Well, for one, it was good. The other, it wasn't good. But everybody just took it like that. Ladies and gentlemen, the evidence from the scriptures will show today that not everything that is pronounced needs to come to pass. You know, just like that. And you do nothing about it. So we're going to look at that closely today. What should be the proper response? Well, this baker and even Joseph, I saw the dream. I mean, you saw the interpretation. Should have given him advice. Say, look, you know, just like Daniel, you know, would give advice to, you know, in the days of Belshazzar and so forth, and say, look, therefore, break up your sins by righteousness. And talk to even Nebuchadnezzar. Look, break up your sins by righteousness. You know, these things are determined. Your kingdom is going to be destroyed. Now, you know, give him advice. Now, Joseph, we're not told, gave this man any advice. He just gave him the dream. Well, in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to call for you and kill you. Now, that's horrible news. Now, what do you think the man would do in those next 3 days? Now, Joseph and both the man, in my own opinion, should have prayed. And Joseph should have given the man advice. You know, maybe this is what you need to do, you know, and so on. But none of that happened, and then the man lost his life. In my own opinion, that was not a good response to that dream. Now, and well, I'm going to speak more about that in a minute. The other one to whom the dream and interpretation felt good was restored to his place. And of course, Joseph asked him, look, when it happens to you, remember me and tell the king something good about me. Because look, I'm here for nothing I did. And he told him his story. But the man, as soon as he was restored and promoted, he forgot all about Joseph. Well, God never forgot about Joseph. Hallelujah. God will never forget about your situation. When your enemies conspire against you, his brothers conspired against him, threw him in the pit, God did not forget him. God raised up even a destiny helper, even among the brothers. Two of them right away. One of them said, well, I'll kill him. Throw him in the pit because he wanted to come back and save him later. Well, the other one said, well, yeah, listen, you know, here is a band of Ishmaelites are coming. Why even kill him? Why let him rot in the pit here? Why don't you just sell him and we'll say that he's killed anyway? I was another destiny helper. Got him out of that pit and sent him away. And so on and so forth. You know, so, well, here, this one would not remember that Joseph was a destiny helper for him. Joseph gave him interpretation of a dream that, you know, encouraged him, you know, and so forth. But when he got to the place, he forgot all about Joseph. All right. So we see the handling of those dreams here. Now let's look at a few more things. You know, how do people handle, you know, all these things in the Bible? There are some dreams that God gave to people, you know, to warn them of impending danger. How did they handle those dreams? We've seen the story of Joseph. When Mary was pregnant of, you know, by the Holy Ghost and so forth, the Lord told him in a vision and a dream, look, don't put your wife away. You know, this thing is from the Lord. And so, even though he was at first minded to put her away privately, you know, he listened. Then later the Lord told him by a dream, listen, you know, they're trying to kill this boy. Herod will try to kill him. You know, you take his mother, this boy, and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again, and so on. Well, he handled it well. He responded. He had a choice of not responding, you know, or arguing or doing this and that, you know, but thank God that, you know, even before he got to that was a critical decision he had to make. Before that, he had already had some experience because first he was told that, look, this is from the Lord. So he got a little bit of practice there by knowing that voice that came to him, tell him that, look, this thing is from the Lord. So don't worry about it. Just take your wife. Don't mind. You know, and of course he took her, you know, but did not go in unto her until after she had the child. So we knew the child was purely from the Holy Ghost. But when he got this dream of protecting the child, he responded properly. He moved, you know, with fear, and he did that. There are some other people in the Bible that God had told things that actually moved and did it. We read of the story of Noah. You know, the voice of the Lord came to Noah The Lord said to him, look, I'm going to destroy everybody. But I want you to build an ark and so forth. The saving of your household. Although it took a very long time, he obeyed and he did it. And we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you can read verse 7. There's a narrative there that talks about, you know, what Noah did. How when the Lord told him, he said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by the which he also condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So we see that Noah, responded positively to the voice that gave him instruction and so forth. We don't know exactly how the voice was always coming to him, but he was told and he was warned and he obeyed and he did it and he saved himself. You know, sometimes it came to him perhaps by voice, perhaps it came to him in a dream and so forth, But his response is what we're looking at today. What was his response, when the Lord told him these things? Well, he responded well. And he responded with action. And he moved to the saving of his household. Praise the Lord. So, now there were others in the Bible that God told certain things, or even how they figured it out that it was God telling them. It could be they saw an angel. It could be they saw a vision. Could be a dream. Even the things that God told Solomon, where we're told that God spoke to Solomon and said, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. It was a dream. and God spoke to him in that dream. And he responded. He actually was participating in that and said, what do I really need here? I'm a young man and made me ruler over all these, your great people. I don't have the wisdom I need. How am I going to do it? I don't have any experience. So give me wisdom. And then the Lord, of course, responded. So we see that, God spoke to him in a dream and, he responded. When God asked him a question, he responded. So his response actually led him to getting tremendous, wisdom from God, which was because of the kind of response that he gave when he saw that, when God asked him, and God gave him an opportunity to ask him anything. So the Lord, we are told from time to time, we say to people, we don't often know how God says to them, but whichever way it is, it could be by dream, it could be by vision, it could be by word. We know they didn't see God because we're told that no one saw God. But when the Lord said, things to Noah, how did he speak to him? Well, we can research that and find out how he spoke. But because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord spoke to him and gave him instructions. And he responded well to it. Okay. And the Lord also gave him other instructions of how to bring the all the animals and so forth, two by two into the ark. These interactions, these spiritual encounters that Noah had with God, Noah responded appropriately and did the right thing, which God wanted him to do and so forth. Well, let's read a few others that there was a story we were told, someone shared that story yesterday. It was one of my stories that I was going to tell anyway. 1 Kings 13, the story of the prophet, the Lord told him sent him on an errand to do something. And when he did, he said, look, when you finish, don't enter into anybody's house. Don't stop by the wayside. Don't do this. Don't do that. Just return by the same way you came. You know, first, you know, after he did the drama that he did, you know, spoke against the altar and the altar was destroyed. Well, somebody tried to stretch their hand to grab him. Their hand was withered. And then he prayed for that man, his hand was restored. The king saw all these things, said, wow, this is a great man of God. He tried to bring him into his house. Now, we see that the man had, you know, discernment at that time, because he knew that the king was an unbeliever. So he had his antennas up, said, well, the Lord already told me not to do this, and I'm not going to do it. You know, so he stood his ground and he didn't do it. Well, we saw how, you know, an older brother, an older prophet, a big prophet, well-known, big man, came to him and told him, you know, come to my house. You know, and he told the man the same thing. He said, well, the Lord has told me not to go to anybody's house. He said, yeah, but the Lord told me too, to bring you. But he lied. Bible says, but he lied unto him. Now, this time around, we see that the man let down his guard, because he said, well, he's a great man of God. He's a bigger prophet than me. So let me just believe him. Well, he should have stayed with the word. That thing eventually cost him his life. But before we get to it costing him his life, how did he respond? You know, here's another big lesson in not responding properly to some prophetic declaration. You know, this man, finally, when he got to eat and drink at the old prophet's house, the same prophet that deceived him now spoke against him the word of the Lord. He said, because you have not sanctified the word of the Lord to obey that which the Lord told you, to tell you not to stop by or eat in anybody's house and this and that, and now you have stopped by and eaten in this place, whereas the Lord told you not to do it, he said, you will not return home. Your carcass will fall by the wayside. And that was a judgment that came upon him. You know, but we do not see anything in here where the young man repented. We don't see anything, you know, like fell on his face and called up. I believe with all my heart that if he would have fallen on his way, or even the old prophet giving him advice and say, now, it's better you repent, for the Lord is a merciful God. If he had told him that, you know, then he repented, God would have saved him. But neither the prophet that brought the judgment against him, nor even the man against whom they brought judgment, none of them prayed. And they just took the thing hook, line, and sinker. And of course, it happened to him just like that. A lion met him on the way and slew him. And the lion stood right there by his donkey. So the lion wasn't hungry. He could have gone after the donkey. It was a judgment. You know? And they said that was an awful response to a prophetic declaration that came against someone to bring evil on them. And they did not respond correctly. And it ended in their death. I believe with all my heart that the man could have repented. And the Lord would have had mercy on him. But he didn't. He just took it. Well, prophet said it, so he just took it like that. Well, that's not the proper response. And that's not always the right response. I mean, so we've seen the story of David and Nathan and Uriah and Bathsheba and so forth. You know, I'm just going to tell these stories quickly because time is going. And you know the story, how what David did and all of that, and how Nathan finally came against him and so forth. And when he brought the word of the Lord, well, you know, David actually responded properly. He fell upon his face and cried against, you know, his own soul. Say, look, I've done wickedly, and began to pray for the Lord. And now the Lord punished him, but the Lord restored him. But he repented. He responded in kind to that word that was brought against him. But he could have said, well, you know, so be it. He didn't say that. Yeah, you know, so that was a good response that David had. You know, I've taught in this room the lessons of Asa, that we learn the story of Asa. I don't have time today to read through of it, but if you read it, you know, when a prophet brought a word against him, that you should have sought to the Lord. Did Lord not help you in the case of the Egyptians and so on and so forth? Did Lord not help you in the case of this one? Why do you not seek to the help of a man? You know, and he was wrath against that prophet. Cast him in prison and did all this. Instead of repenting and say, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. I should have sought you rather than seeking, you know, this and that. You know, he was wrath against the prophet. Cast him in prison, and then he began to torment even his own people. People that tried to advise him, he tormented all of them. You know, and it didn't end well with him, even though he started very well. He was someone, you know, that started well, cut down the groves, even deposed his mom of being queen mother because she had an idol. He crushed the idol, he destroyed it, got his mom out of there. So we're not going to do this. We're going to serve the Lord. And he was great. Followed the ways of David, his father, initially, until, you know, one day, you know, maybe pride or whatever entered his heart. And when his judgment came against him, he did not respond. You know, first time that, you know, a prophet brought him some word. He said, look, seek the Lord. He will be found of you. You search him and so forth. You know, he responded, commanded all the people to worship the Lord. And they did it. This time around, judgment came against him and he did not respond in kind. He became angry, you know, and did the wrong thing. And at the end of the day, it ended badly for him. Someone that started very well. And even one time he was diseased in his feet and he sought not to the Lord. And so on and so forth. A lot of evil. And he did not know how to respond to these things. And it was bad. His response was evil and it ended evil for him. Not end well for him. There was another man called Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man also that loved the Lord. You know, he, you know, during his time, he wasn't perfect. He was perfect in some things, but also he himself made some errors. But at one point in time, the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, because Hezekiah was sick, and Isaiah, he was a great man of God, Isaiah was, came to the king and said, look, set your house in order. You are going to die. You will surely not live. You know, God is giving you a warning that you are going to die. So take this time to put your house in order. Now, this is an interesting story of someone's response to some negative thing that was told him of a prophet. You know, so we want to look at that. You know, now, you know, the way that Hezekiah handled this prayer, you can read it. It's in a couple of different places. Let's just look at the one in Isaiah 38. You know, thus saith the Lord God, you know, he told him, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now that's thus saith the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that point blank came from the Lord. And Isaiah was not operating under a lying spirit. It was actually the voice of the Lord, reporting through the prophet that the king is going to die. Now, what was the king's response? This is probably the most critical thing that I'm going to say today, this story right here. You know, what was his response? Because some people think that, well, once the Lord showed you something or once you say something, that's it. That's it got to be. No. We see that in this case. This man, the prophet of the Lord, came to him and told him this thing. Thus saith the Lord. Point blank, you are going to die. You will not recover of this sickness. Therefore, set your house in order. Make preparation, because you are surely going to die. Now, what was the man's response? Did the man just say, well, the prophet has spoken and that's it? Oh, no. The man said, uh-uh. You know, he wept sore before the Lord and he pleaded his case. Remember, the Lord said, you know, plead your case. Declare it again, that how might us be justified. And this man pleaded his case with the Lord. He said, look, remember, I have walked before you in truth and of a perfect hand. I've done that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And he wept so. He did not want to die. I don't know whatever the reason why he didn't want to die, but he didn't want to die. And he wept so. And the word of the Lord came back to Isaiah and said, go and tell Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, Ati, I have heard your prayer. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you all know this story. If you don't know it, read it. You know, this man did not take the word of the prophet as the end. You know, now, and I tell you something. if the word of some prophet or some prophetic seer or anybody tells you something good, well, you say amen to it. But if it tells you something evil, don't take it. This man did not take it. I don't care if he's a prophet, angel, or anything. He went to the Lord in prayer and he sought the face of the Lord and said, no. And the Lord saw his heart. The Lord put these stories in the Bible to help us. You know, so the Lord saw his heart and the Lord turned around, gave him 15 more years and he lived, you know, and he was able to get a lot of things, more things done. Now, some people say we heard the word of the Lord, just like the prophet in 1 Kings 13, and they just take it like that and they do nothing. Well, Ezekiah didn't take it like that. He did something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same thing for us today. When you see a dream or you hear a pronunciation that is wrong or evil, it doesn't mean that it has to come to pass. And some people say, look, once I see the dream, that's it. No. You know, and I, you know, people say, and as a young man, I used to hear this song that say, Ko sera sera. You know, and when I started having faith, I said, I hate that song. What will not be unless it is good for me. If it's going to be evil, then I'm going to do something about it. Don't just say Ko sera sera. Ko sera sera means what will be, you know, in French. But, you know, don't just say what will be, you know, if it is, doesn't sound right, doesn't sound appropriate, it's not to your health and it's not to your benefit, reject it. Hallelujah. You know, God said, look, Jeremiah 29, we all quote this all the time, 11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace, thoughts of good, you know, not of evil. And I would never do you evil, but good to give you an expected end. We quote this thing all the time. But then why don't you apply it when you see a negative dream or a negative or hear a negative? Now, both the dreamer. Now, some of us will say, well, the Lord showed me something negative about somebody. And you don't pray. I said this before during this lesson that, look, if you are prone to seeing things, whether by discernment of spirits, I will talk about spirits yesterday, or by whatever means, could be God wants you to pray about it. Doesn't mean that you just have to open your mouth and say it and then let the evil come upon that person. You know, if God showed you something that somebody is going to die, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to go and tell them that they are going to die? Just like this Isaiah. Isaiah himself should have been praying about it, you know. But he didn't. He just went and told the guy. But thank God that the guy said no. And he prayed about it. He cried unto the Lord. And so when you see something negative about somebody, or it flashes by, or you see through discerning of spirits that some evil is going to befall somebody, what should you do? They don't have to be your friend. They don't have to be your family. They could be a random person. You know, but what should you do? What should be your response? Well, ladies and gentlemen, your response, you know, should be an intercessory response to say, Lord, let this thing not be, you know, that's the least you can do, and pray with all your heart that that thing should not be. Now, if it turns out that it is, because that's the way the Lord wants it, but at least you've done your part in trying to pray towards that or against that. We should never open our mouth and say something negative unless the Holy Spirit is bringing judgment. You know, we've seen cases where, you know, you know, Paul would say things like thou, you know, all full of subtlety, you know, thou child of the devil and so forth, because the man was resisting the gospel and trying to overturn everything they were doing. And he said, well, you know, this is going to befall you. You go blind and so on. So, I mean, but look. You know, that's not always the case. You know, we can pray, even just pray that the Lord will have mercy and that thing should not be. Now, don't be deceived into thinking that once you see something, then that's the way it's going to be. Well, maybe and maybe not. We've seen a story here in the case of Ezekiah. The prophet even put thus saith the Lord on top of it, you know, but yet Ezekiah was able to avert that. So look, you can see a negative dream. You can have a negative impression. You can even see a negative discern of spirit. Now, it could be something the Lord is warning you so that you know how to not get in bed with those people, so to speak. and move on. Yeah, and that's okay. The Lord can show you that and then you move on. But if it is, you know, something terminal, like somebody is going to die or this and that, you see that. Look, I believe that anybody that sees that, even if they are your enemy or even some random person you don't know, I believe that you need to pray about it and not just say it and think that it's going to happen, you know, just because you said it. Well, if it happened just because you said it, what did you do about it? You know, I mean, what good is it for me, for God to tell me that somebody, the Bible says that God does not rejoice even in the death of the sinner. What good is it for me, for God to tell me that somebody is going to die? What good is that? That doesn't help the kingdom. That doesn't help God. You know, all it helps is me to say that, oh, God showed it to me before. You know, and I've been around people. There was a time we had a house fellowship, you know, here in Arizona. There were some people that used to get up and say, God, show them things, you know, and they used to rejoice in the fact that God showed them things, you know. And one, then there was a brother one day, you know, then he used to like to show everybody that he was a prophet or that he, God showed him things. So one day he got up in the fellowship and said, you know, God showed him somebody's going to die. And I'm like, okay. So I'm waiting, I'm there waiting, you know, and he even told us the time that this thing is going to happen. Okay. And I'm waiting that he will just call for prayer, but he didn't. I mean, he was more concerned about the fact that God spoke to him than about the impact of what he would say to that person, who mean to that person. Of course, they didn't have a shepherd's heart. You know, a shepherd would never do that. You know, they didn't have that heart. So finally, I had enough with it. And, you know, I don't normally get up and, you know, put people down or say something against somebody in the fellowship. But that day I had to do it. And I say, we've had enough of this. And I'm going to put up with this. These people are not captors in the desert that you just speak to them and see they have no soul. You don't come out here and tell somebody the Lord showed you they're going to die. What does that mean? Do you want to put the spirit of fear upon that person? That's witchcraft. And I called it out. You know. Now, look, listen. And I came out there and prayed over that thing. I overturned it. And I brought Jeremiah 29:11. I brought some other things. And I said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And all these things. And I brought so many things. And canceled the thing. You know. And, you know, restored, you know, confidence in the heart of that brother that fear had already gripped him. Because the other brother was sitting right there. You know, and fear had already gripped him. You know, and that's it. That's witchcraft. That's not the gifting of the spirit. It may have started out by the gifting of the spirit. Somebody said that yesterday, I think, you know, quoted Romans 11:29, gifts of calling of God are without repentance. Well, maybe it started out good, but if you don't know how to handle, it will turn quickly into witchcraft. Anytime you try to control or put fear on people, that's witchcraft. I don't care whether you say, thus saith the Lord or not. So I put the guy in his place. I said, no, you don't do that. You know, these are precious souls for whom Christ died. And you don't come out here and tell somebody that they're going to die. Or you come out here and tell them that you saw some evil about them. What were we going to do about it? First of all, that's something that should never have been said in public. The Lord showed you something like that. Proper response is you go to God in prayer and you pray your heart out until that thing is overturned. That's the proper response. You don't tell the person. You don't tell it to your wife. You don't tell it to anybody. You pray about it until you deal with the thing. Now, if you have some prayer friends in circle that are trusted, you know, that they know what discretion means, which is on a need-to-know basis, and they don't need to open their mouth, tell anything, you can get them in prayer and pray until that thing is overturned. But you don't go telling the person. You don't go showing off that you know something. You know, what good does that do to everybody? Well, the Lord already told me. So what? You know, now, this is what people need to learn. When you receive these negative things, can be a total random stranger that you don't know. You see that they are going to die. You see some evil about them. What should you do? Don't open your mouth and say it. Don't do it now, you know, because there's nothing to be gained by saying it. rather you pray that it should not be. You know, and if we pray and God still say no, don't pray about it, then that's okay. But you must pray first. But God may tell you, leave it alone. you know, but you've done the right thing. You know, you've prayed. And then God tells you, just leave it alone. And then you leave it alone. But you don't go tell them. You don't go open your mouth. You don't go tell it to anybody else. Because we are messengers of peace. You know, God, I don't want to be the person that be an announcer of doom and evil on people and, you know, make people go sorrowful and bow their head all the days of that. What am I going to do about it? You know, even if God shows you some negative thing and he wants you to go and warn that person, there's a way that you can couch it so that you can warn them. I mean, there was a way that Nathan went to David and couched the story and so forth, you know, and was able to warn him and so on, you know. Now, if he had gone to David and just opened his mouth and said some rash thing, maybe David would not have been, you know, so receptive. But first, he got David into a situation where David agreed that the person that did that thing is evil and needs to be punished. So now he has used some wisdom, you know, and now David say, well, oh my goodness, you know, I'm this man. You know, so now he used wisdom. So there's wisdom, there's understanding. A lot of people don't have that. Just having the gifts of the Spirit, especially revelative gifts, ladies and gentlemen, they are very dangerous or could be very dangerous. And they carry, you know, it's like a cross that you have to carry. And people don't know this. If you are gifted to seeing things or knowing things, it's a burden. It's a big burden. And if you don't know how to handle it, you will be guilty of many things. And the reason God showed you those things is for you to pray, not for you to just open your mouth and say it. You got to pray. You got to avert that thing. If you don't know how to do that, go and pray that God will help you to do that. That's what you must do. Never open your mouth and go and say some negative thing to somebody without you pray about it first. When you pray about it, God may tell you, don't say anything, just pray. And God may even tell you, leave it alone. Don't pray and don't say. It's not everything we have to say. You know, there's a time to speak and there's a time to refrain from speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the lesson today. We got to know the proper way to respond to dreams, to visions, to prophecy, and so forth. You know, and if somebody came around and gave you a prophetic word that is contrary to what the Lord already told you, you know, you don't have to respond to it or not something the Lord told you already. This is my personal posture. And again, it's from many years of experience, right? Young people in faith may not understand this, but I'm trying to help everybody here to understand it. You need to hear from God directly. Never mind what somebody else claims that God told them about you. Well, God told them, God didn't tell you. If God wants, this is what I always say. Can you imagine, you know, in my life after many years, somebody come up to me and tell me God told them something. And I'm like, yeah, but God didn't tell me. It's not pride. Some people think you are proud. You know, it's understanding the word of God. You know, I am a child of God. I cry, Abba, Father. And God, my Father needs to speak to me. God wants to tell me something about me through somebody. He should tell me first. And then the person can confirm. If I hear it from somebody first and God didn't tell me, I'm not responsible for it. Now I can ask God, is that what you said? And why come you didn't tell me first? I've got to have a relationship with my Father. Why would you want to tell your child something and you go tell somebody else to come and tell them? Why? You know, why wouldn't you just talk to the child? Well, maybe God tried to get your attention and you didn't listen. That could be one reason. And then he had to tell somebody else. But most of the time, you know, if we're walking in the Spirit, and all of this is to help us to walk closer in the Spirit, God will talk to you first. And if somebody comes to be the bearer of evil news against you or your family and so forth, remember, Numbers 23 and 23, there is no enchantment. There is no divination that will work against you. You got to believe it. You know, and you dispel those things. You know, I don't care, you know, what anybody says. You know, there was a time I was traveling a lot. You know, every weekend I was gone, come back home and so forth. You know, and some people, and even myself, you know, one day somebody came to me and said, well, you know, you were involved in a plane crash and so on. And I said, no, I was not. And I will not be. And even myself, I saw some dreams and some things. Well, I was in a plane crash during those times. I said, no, but it's just a dream. And this is for me to pray. And I prayed against it, and it never happened, not for one moment. For 14 years, I traveled up and down everywhere. Despite any dream, despite anything, it never happened. Because the Lord, you know, He is God. He it is that doth go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You know, you got to use the positive word of God. So let me bring this home today. I've talked about many things. Your responsibility as the deliverer of the message that is not so savory, what should be your response? And your responsibility of hearing or seeing or receiving a message that is not so savory, what should be your response? Now, if it is good, then of course. And if the Lord showed you, you know, the prosperity of someone and they lift her up of their head when they're down, absolutely. Encourage them. We should be sons of encouragement, you know, and because look, the Bible says that even the gift of prophecy is for what? Is for exhortation, you know, encouragement and comfort and all these things. So, you know, if your word will bring encouragement, then by all means. If, and this is where spiritual discernment comes. You yourself have to discern, you know, you yourself have to discern the impact that that thing was going to have that you're about to say. And if you say the negative thing, what impact is it going to bring on that person? You better be careful. Better not to say it. And just pray about it. Praise the Lord. Now, but don't just be silent. If you don't do anything about it, you will be guilty of that person's blood if something happened to them. Right. So your responsibility is not just being quiet because it was negative. Your responsibility is actually taking it to God in prayer. You know, the Lord shows me negative things all the time. I don't tell anybody. I just deal with it on my own, you know, until I'm satisfied that God has averted it. And I'll be looking and I will see that it's averted. Hallelujah. You know, but I'm not looking for the thing to come to pass. I'm looking to see that it has been averted. Some people will actually be looking to see that the thing came to pass. What good is that? What good does that do for anybody? You know, so we don't want that thing to come to pass if it is not a thing that is edifying. It's not a thing of comfort. It's not a thing of encouragement. It's not a thing of lifting up. It's not a thing of building up and so on and so forth. We don't want it to come to pass. So even if you see it, well, reject it and don't deal with it and don't even voice it out. Look, there's power in our speech. You know, a man is ensnared by the words of his mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This tongue is so powerful, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you say it, because it is so powerful, you know. So when you have to be very careful. Now, if it's a positive thing, yeah, then say it. Yeah. So you yourself need discernment whether it is positive or it is negative. But if it is negative, you know, then don't say it. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18 and 21. It says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if you know that the thing is to give life, you know, somebody is cast down and you can bring a scent of water to them, cause their tree that is down to be raised up again, like Job 14, 7 through 9 says. That there is a lifting up that can come through the scent of water to even a tree that dead or dying. If your speech can be with salt, that's what he says. Colossians 4 and 6. He said, look, let your speech, hallelujah, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, is that you can be a son of encouragement. You know, it's what he says. You may know how to answer every man. Your speech should always be with grace and seasoned with salt. You give life to the hearers. That's right. You know, never any negative thing. You know, and in as much, listen to this. People love spiritual gifts. People love these, you know, people love actually these gifts of revelation. They love to be able to say, the Lord showed me something, I know something, and so forth. And it's good. And we should have it. And we taught it. You know, the discernment and the gifts of spirit. But look, here is the underlining principle for that. You know, in as much, look, this is the underlining principle. Everything that we want from the Lord, you know, in terms of, I mean, and God did say that, look, we should, you know, we should seek, you know, to, you know, we should seek the spiritual gifts. We should seek all these things and so forth, you know, and God actually said that. But what is your purpose in seeking the spiritual gifts? You know, what is your purpose? Our purpose should be, you know, to edify your brethren, edify your hearers and people who are listening to you by your words. You know, don't let your words be grievous to people. You know, even when you say, well, but the Lord told me, well, yeah, but the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You know, so, you know, weigh your words carefully and let be sure that your words are going. I cannot say this enough. Weigh your words carefully. Be sure that your words are going to bring grace. You know, yeah, this lesson is given in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. This is it. You love discerning of spirits. You love to be able to know that God told you something and God showed you. You love to know that you heard, you saw a vision, you saw a dream and all of this. That's good. But in as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, so what it says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, let it be for the edification of the church. You know, that's what it says. So let's read it. And this will be our memory verse today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. In the King James. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. This has been a guiding principle for me all my life. If I'm going to teach a lesson, even if the lesson is going to sting a bit, the purpose has to be to edify the people. If I'm going to say anything, it has to be to edify, even if the thing is going to sting, because this is what it says right here. So I want everybody to write this down as our memory verse today. This has to be our driving factor, so that you know the proper way to respond to these spiritual inspirations, which can come by dream, can come by vision, can come by prophetic word. And all these things are perfect. I mean, they come from the Lord. But how do you respond? You know, I said the other day that the inspiration of the message is divine, but the delivery is human. You know, God will inspire you with the message, but how you deliver it or not deliver it at all, you know, that's human. You know, so if you are on the receiving end, we've seen the story of Hezekiah. I'm rounding up now. If you are on the receiving end of something negative, don't just take it like that. Don't be like the young prophet in 1 Kings 13 that did not repent and the lion slew him. Or be like David that repented. You know, get in on that prayer right away if you hear something negative. Be like Hezekiah that rejected the thing. Praise God. You know, so this is our lesson for today. And again, you know, remember, let your words and your speech Hello? Can you guys still?
We are here.
All right.
Yes, we can hear you.
She was calling me, so I thought maybe she was saying that I was out. She's the one that's out. Okay, but I have to continue. So the lesson here is that we must do our diligence to make sure that even though we are zealous of spiritual gifts, discerning of spirits and all these things, dreams, visions, and so forth, let's make sure that everything is done to the edifying of the church. That's when you speak it out. If it's within you, well, that's between you and God. You know, but if you're going to speak it out, better make sure it edifies somebody. You know, so, and again, you know, Colossians 4 and 6, you know, tells us that, you know, your words must be seasoned with grace and with salt so that you know how to answer every man. You know, let your words, you know, bring seasoning and grace to everyone so that you will know how to answer them. You know, praise the Lord. So this is our lesson today. And I pray that all of you, all of us will learn from this to know how to discern what is right, you know, because if it is not going to edify the hearer, then don't say it out. And there is nothing to be gained by saying, I said it and it came to pass. So what? You know, what is more important is, well, the Lord showed it to me and I prayed and I averted it. That's more honorable and that's more that's more glorious in the long analysis, or the final analysis of all things. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I am going to leave it there, and I hope that we understand how we should have the proper response. When you are the ones that are on the receiving end, then let your response be like Ezekiah's response. Of course, if it's a good thing, say amen to it and receive it. If it's a negative thing, then you do what Ezekiah did and, you know, reject it and pray fervently in your heart, you know, and declare it to the Lord, you know, make your stand, make your case, you know, and the Lord will answer you. The Lord put these examples, you know, in the Bible so that we will know how that we ought to do. Praise the Lord. Put me in remembrance, saith the Lord, Isaiah 43 and 26. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be justified. That's exactly what Ezekiah did. He reminded the Lord and said, remember how I have walked perfectly with a perfect heart before you. And now this horrible news. No. You know, and he cried sore before the Lord. And the cry of the righteous. We did that a few days ago, and the Lord, he listened to his cry and he turned it around. So I'm going to pray over the room. I pray that the Lord give us understanding for these things in Jesus' name. And if you are gifted with dreams and visions and design of spirits and the like, or even a prophetic word and so forth, you have a tremendous responsibility. You know, it's a tremendous responsibility. We should not trifle with it at all. It's a tremendous responsibility to make sure you're a gatekeeper of peace. That's right. And if anything is negative, you know, you be the first, you be the first one to stand guard against it. Don't release it. Because if you release it, you've just propagated that evil. Be the first line of defense against the negative thing. Stand against it. Pray against it. Especially when it's for the body of Christ or so. And even for any old random person. You know, it's no longer random if the Lord showed it to you. It was targeted. Then you have your part to play. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. I give you honor and praise and glory. And I ask, O Lord, that you give us understanding in these things, that we may know the proper response to dreams, visions, and even the prophetic release. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. And for those of us that have the giftings of dreams, visions, and the prophetic, even in designer spirits, give us compassion and empathy. Yeah, that's what's missing sometimes. Give us compassion and empathy and so forth. And that you have our words seasoned with grace, to minister our grace to the heirs and so forth. And let us be agents of peace and not agents of evil. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And give every one of us understanding to know how to reject that which is not wholesome. For my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord, are thoughts of peace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.